God is good to us. Bless us with a start to a beautiful day. And the beautiful day like this, we get to begin it by being together with those of like precious faith to worship God in spirit and truth. I'm thankful for that. And I'm sure that you are as well. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We are always happy to have visitors with us, and we hope that you feel welcome and that you want to come back and be with us every opportunity you have. We just simply ask you to take your Bible out, be attentive to what is stated. If you have questions about what you see, questions about what you hear, don't feel like you have to leave without asking. You ask your Bible questions, and we'll do our very best to give you nothing but a book, chapter, verse, Bible answer for those questions. I appreciate the good scripture reading that was done. Tom did a good job on that. You did a very good job in the song service. Brother Ray did a good job in leading that as always, and we appreciate that very much. As I said in the Bible class, it really does set the tone for the sermon. It makes getting up and preaching a little bit easier when the song service is as good as it was. In Psalm 142 and in verse 1 or 4, our scripture in reading ended with these words, "No man cared for my soul." Have you ever felt like no man cared for your soul? Well, we feel a lot of different ways in this life. We have different emotions brought on by different circumstances and different events, and we all need to be encouraged. I think about Acts 20 rather, in verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." We all need to be built up, and we're built up by the word of God, but we need words of encouragement. And God's word does encourage us. It comforts us. It encourages us to be steadfast and to keep on going when life can be very difficult, because it is. We have good times, but we also have times that are bleak, times when we feel like it's uncertain, times when we just don't know, times when we get tired, times when we feel bad, times when we are just discouraged and need some words of encouragement. So I hope that this lesson this morning will encourage all of us when you feel various different ways. I know that's hard to see from the back, but the title of the lesson's on the board. There's some outlines in the back. When you feel. And we're just going to talk about some different ways in which we feel. And when we do feel like the ways in which I bring out this morning, we need to understand what the Bible says about it and take encouragement from God's Word. When we feel, number one, as Tom read just a moment ago from Psalm 142 and in verse 4, when we feel like no man cares for our soul. Now, sometimes it's easy to want to have a pity party. And sometimes it's easy to feel sorry for self. All of us do. One of the best remedies for that is to get our mind off self and onto others. And think about the needs and the cares of others. But when we feel like no man cares for my soul, I want to assure all of us that God cares. I know he cares. I don't have to guess about that. Because I read, as Peter wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12. You take notes or turn to these passages and read them. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." And the Bible also talks about, and we'll talk about that passage more in a moment, but in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." And you can put yourself in that "you." It's talking about you. And Peter's writing to those of like precious faith. And so if it ever feels like no man cares for my soul, you can be rest assured that God cares because he said so. But also, if you ever feel like no one hears, you need to understand that God hears. I just read that to you a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So when I feel like, listen, nobody is listening to what I'm saying. Nobody cares for me. Nobody hears me. Nobody listens to me. I know someone that does. God does. And as a child of God, I know that I have the ears of my Father in heaven. We get that point from the book of Revelation to a persecuted first century group of Christians, a first century persecuted people, God's people. And though the door of different places and folks may have been shut to them, like Rome and others, they were assured that heaven itself was open unto them. And so the prayers of the saints went even unto God in heaven. I think of John 9:31. Now I know that God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man doeth the will of God and worshipeth him, what's the rest of that? Him he heareth. We had prayer this morning. I hope you were not just listening to those prayers, but that you were praying unto God. Do you understand that God hears you? God wants you to pray unto Him, to talk unto Him. God communicates to us today by His Word, but we communicate to God through prayer. And so many times it's one of the most neglected duties and privileges of God's people is prayer. And yet we have the assurance of passages like James chapter 5 and then verses 16 and 17. Confess your faults one toward another. Pray for one another, for the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer works if we would just pray. And so when you feel like no one hears you, you need to understand that your Father which is in heaven hears. If you ever feel like you cannot escape temptation, you can. I know the passage as you do in James chapter 1 verse 13 that every man or count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then he talks about, let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted of God when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth, or lust rather is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And so we know that all man is tempted, drawn away of his own lust. I recently thought about that. Why did the text say own lust? Do you ever think about that? Words matter. These are words of the Holy Spirit. Why did he say every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust? Well, I mean, part of that is there are lusts that one may have that you don't have to deal with. But every man is tempted when he's enticed and drawn away of his own lust. And the ultimate end result of that, when sin is finished, is it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6, verse 23. But it's not God that does the tempting, but we face temptation. The devil's called the tempter in Matthew chapter 4. As I recently pointed out to you in a sermon, but all of us are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. But God has assured us that we can escape that. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That means that all men, sometimes we feel alone. I'm the only one that's ever went through this. Not so. There's no temptation taken you that is not common to man. Man's went through it before. You're not the only one. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, and will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So you just need to look for the avenue out that God provides. And don't succumb to temptation. And all of us are, and it's difficult. But don't give in to temptation. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 9. So when you feel like I can't get through this, I can't make it out of this temptation, yes you can. The Bible says you can. But you need to be faithful unto God. But also, number four, when you feel like you can't, just simply cannot bear your burden, I want to assure you, you can. When you feel like there's just no way that you can carry the burden that you have, you can. God says you can. We have the family of God that we are privileged to be a member of, who will help us bear our burden. Bear you one another's burdens. and so fulfill the law of Christ. What a blessing it is to be a member of God's family. To know that if I feel like it's too difficult for me to bear, why don't I pick up the phone and call somebody? Or tell somebody, Chris, I need help. Will you help me with it? I guarantee you this room is filled with people that are willing to help you. Try and see sometime. Don't feel like you got to do it yourself. You don't have to bear your burden alone. You have your brothers and sisters in Christ who will help you. Will you help one another? Shake or nod. I'm thankful to be a member of a congregation who not only says it, but means it and proves it. Put your brethren to test one day. See if they'll help you. I guarantee that they will. But then, when you feel like you just can't do it, not only when you feel like you can't bear it, but then when you feel like I just can't do this, yes, you can. Paul said this, recorded in Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 13, I can do all things. You need to underscore I can. Too many times we want to say I can't, I won't, I'm not. Instead of positive, I can, I will, I'm going to. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. Herein is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That means they're not too difficult to be carried out, 1 John chapter 5 and then verse 3. So when you feel like you can't do it, be rest assured that you can. But also when you feel like there's just no one on my side, no one is with me. And sometimes we feel like that. We feel like there's just no one with me. I feel like I'm alone. Don't feel that way. There's no reason to feel that way as a Christian. Because you have God on your side. And I've often said, and I'll say it now, that me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. For if God be with us, who can be against us? And then when you think about the words, the beautiful words of Psalm 3, he makes a statement. He's not asking a question. You need to recognize that when you read this psalm. In Psalm 3 verse 1, he's not asking a question. He's making a statement, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? He's just making the observation, there are many that trouble me. Many there be which say in my soul, there is no help for him in God. He says, many there be which rise up against me, verse 1. Many there be which say in my soul, verse 2, there is no help for him in God. Have you ever felt like people say, there's no hope for that Donnie Oliver? I've heard people say of other people, if so-and-so can make it to heaven, I can. They just think there's no hope for that. The psalmist declared, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many there be which rise up against me. Many there be which say in my soul, there's no help for him in God. But here's the contrast. Now that's what others perhaps were saying. David is saying that's how I feel about others. But notice how he felt about God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Remember us talking about just a moment ago, when you think nobody hears you? David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. I lay me down and slept. I wait for the Lord sustain me. There's another passage for that, Acts 17 we talked about in the Bible class, for in him we live and move and have our being. Psalm 3 and then verse 5. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. When you feel like that no one is with you, you need to read Psalm 3. David knew that God was with him. I will never leave you nor forsake you, the Lord said. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The words of 2 Peter 4 and then verse 17. So God is with us. If you ever feel like no one is on your side, God is with you. And all of this hinges on us being a Christian, by the way. And walking in the light as He is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. Be faithful unto Him. Number 8. If you ever feel like you just simply don't have the strength to go on. You ever feel like that? I just can't do it anymore. I don't have the strength to keep doing it. I felt that way before, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that, I'm sure. That you have felt, I'm not sure I can keep doing it. In 2 Timothy 4:16, 17 rather, I just mentioned to you. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but every man forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me, we're not alone, and He strengthened me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. God will strengthen us. We need to study His Word. We need to do as God would have us to do. But He's assured us that that He'll strengthen us. Now, I'm not talking about some miraculous means. But God will strengthen us according to His providence revealed in His Word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and in verse 13. Here's one that I think all of us can relate to. Can you relate to these I've talked about so far? Here's another one. When you feel like it's not fair. Do you ever feel like it's just not fair? Well, yes, I understand life's not fair and we just have to get over it. But there's times when we think to ourselves, it's not fair. Here I am doing A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and I'm trying my hardest, and I have it hard. And people who couldn't care less doing what they want to do, they're the ones that seemingly prosper. And many times do prosper. It's not fair. They have more than I have, and I'm trying to do my best to do what God would have me to do. It's just not fair. Don't tell me you've never felt that way. Don't tell me you never made that observation. You're not alone. We read about that in the Bible. God dealt with that before me and you came along. So when you feel like it's not fair, maybe we need to read Psalm 37. And that puts some perspective on it. We're not going to read the whole thing, but He's talking about the wicked, among other things, in this psalm. And He says in Psalm 37, 1 beginning, He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Ever see the phrase, "don't fret"? "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." So when you feel like it's not fair, when you feel like I'm envious, I'm jealous because they're so wicked, and yet I'm not doing what they're doing, and they have more than I have. Their health is better than my health. Their way in life seems to be easier. Yes, I understand the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, but there's times when they prosper. The psalmist deals with that. And when you're tempted to be envious of that, don't. Think of Psalm 37. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Now what's verse 2? Here's the reason. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Here's what you do. You trust in the Lord, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. "And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Don't fret when evildoers prosper. You just trust in the Lord and you do good, because make no mistake about it, the wicked will perish in his ways and will stand in the righteous judgment of God, who will do good and reward man according to his work. You can also read Psalm 73. I might read a passage or two from there, but begin with verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Tell me, Asaph, that's who this psalm is. It's a psalm of Asaph. He says, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there is no bands in his death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concern oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heaven, and their tongue walketh through the earth. And then he goes on to talk more about it, and then he says, I didn't understand it until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. The wicked will perish. Trust in God. So when we feel like it's not fair, I'll give you another reference that we're not going to turn to and read it, but Jeremiah 12, verses 1 through 6. It's a good reference to talk about the prosperity of the wicked, but they will not escape the judgment of God. But also, when you feel like you do not know, especially listen to this, young people, when you feel like you do not know why you're here to begin with, don't get caught up in this agenda that's being pushed today that you need to leave home and you need to go out into the world and you need to go out and discover and find yourself. Let God tell you why you're here. Let God tell you who you are or who you should be. And then you decide that you're going to be that person that God would have you to be. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When you want to know what your duty is, there's your answer. Fear God and keep His commandments. And then when you think about what Paul wrote to those at Corinth, recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's your purpose. Fear God, obey Him, that God might have glory by what you do. There's our purpose and our duty. So when you feel like you just don't know, you don't have to be ignorant about it anymore. Now you know. But also when you feel like you don't know if you have enough. I don't know if I can make ends meet. All of us probably feel that way from time to time. Don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. None of us do. But I know that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. I know that the Bible says that the psalmist was old, young, and now he's old, and he's never seen God's seed forsaken or begging bread. Psalm 37 and verse 25. So I know that God will take care of me and that God will provide for me. I may not know how that's going to come about, but I don't have to doubt that He will, because He will. Think about it. I'm looking out. All of you, you have a home to live in. You're clothed. You have food. I guarantee you're going to go home and eat. Guarantee you're going to go somewhere and eat today. God has blessed you. Blessed you today. Why doubt that He'll bless you tomorrow? But also, when you feel like I'm afraid, you need to read the third Psalm again. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I'm not going to be afraid. I need to remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 28. Fear not what men can do to you. Don't fear men, but fear God. Read Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though death be near, I will not fear. God makes our cup run over each and every day. Thy rod and thy staff, He says, comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you feel like you don't have enough, read Matthew 23 and Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 6 when you feel like you're afraid. That I may say, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men may do to me. Hebrews 13 verse 6. But also when you feel weary. You ever feel weary? Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some versions say if we don't lose heart. Just don't give up. If you just keep on keeping on and don't give up. The crown belongs to those. The crown of life belongs to those who don't give up. Those who don't quit. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For we will reap if we don't lose heart. Be steadfast and so unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. So when you feel weary, don't feel that way. Don't give up. Understand that your work and your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When you feel like all is going well, we've talked about mostly all negative. Here's a positive one. When you feel like, listen, everything is well with my soul, I feel pretty good. Beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. Amen. The words of Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 through 12. The problem is sometimes we want to cry out in time of need, and then when God blesses us, we forget about Him. That's been a tendency of man since days of old. And that's covered in the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. When God gives you this land and He blesses you to eat and to have a home to dwell in that you didn't build, food that you didn't plant, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. When you feel like men persecute you, you need to remember the words of Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Remember the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 12. Yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So when you feel like men are persecuting you, remember those words. Two more points. When you feel like it's just not worth it, I want to assure you that it is. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 18, as Paul is writing to the saints at Rome, he says, for I reckon, what do you reckon, Brother Paul? That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, we're going to suffer. But I assure every one of us today, beginning with me and all around the room, that heaven will be worth it all. Heaven is worth it all. One last point. It'll be 17 points. I gave you two in addition to the 15 I had on the outline. When you feel like, are you listening to me? I didn't lose you after point three or four, did I? When you feel like, I just need to rest. Jesus understood the value of rest. On one occasion, he told the apostles, come ye apart and rest a while. And then in Matthew chapter 4, as they went into the city to buy meat, the Bible says that Jesus was weary from his journey. It's natural to get tired. And it's okay to take rest. You have to have rest. You absolutely have to have rest, or you're not going to make it. But at the same time, as you're resting, don't quit. Don't quit. Because ultimately, there's coming a time when we will rest for all eternity in the joys of heaven. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You need to come to Jesus if you want rest. Now think about the words in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 9 when he said, there remaineth therefore A rest unto the people of God. A rest that remains. You want to have that rest? The beautiful, encouraging statements of Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works to follow them. You can have that rest if you'll obey the gospel, live for God the rest of your days, and be faithful even unto death. You can have that great crown of life that awaits the faithful. So when you feel like these things, be assured about what the Bible says. You're not alone. God will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes the way we feel is not reality. We just feel that way. But I tell you something that is a reality. When you know that you're not a Christian, you need to do something about it. We talked about how you feel from time to time. But if you're here this morning, you know you're not a Christian, now's the time to obey. You may not have another opportunity. Why on earth chance it? You say, Preacher, I don't know enough. We'll study with you. We'll study with you today so you can obey the gospel today if that's the problem. If that's the hesitation. Don't feel like you can't do it. We talked about that. You can. Preacher, what do I have to do to become a Christian? Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And if you have done that, but you've not been faithful unto God, you went back out into the ways of the world, and you know you've not been living your life as you should, why not take care of that today? Why not repent of your unfaithfulness? Do what you know you need to do. As you repent of those things, we'll pray with you and for you. It's not worth delay. Why not obey? Come right now.